Now in Hebrews 10, we saw that the Spirit of God there warns us and encourages us and instructs us about true faith. And that faith, that it's that faith by which chosen, redeemed sinners are given and joined with Christ and all the blessedness that He is to our souls. Now in chapter 11, we're going to pick up here and we're going to see how the Holy Spirit records through the writer a word on the nature of faith, the works of faith, and the response of faith to the Word of God. The nature of faith, the works of faith, and the response of faith to the Word of God. The title this morning is The Substance of Things Hoped For. The Substance of Things Hoped For. We'll begin reading in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by faith he, being dead, yet speaketh, his sacrifice yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, first thing I want you to see this morning is here in the first verse, the Apostle Paul tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are some things that believers hope for? What are some things we hope for? We hope for eternal salvation. We hope to be delivered from sin and from a sinful world. We hope to continue trusting Christ alone. We hope to be brought safely into God's presence and enjoy fellowship with God forever. These are some things the believer hopes for. And we're told here that faith is the substance of the things hoped for. That doesn't mean that faith is the cause of God being gracious to us, but rather faith is the result of God's grace, and through faith we see those things and we hope for those things. It's substance. Those things are real to us, like we saw last time, enduring substance. And then we're told here that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means assurance or certainty. It's substance. This table right here is substance. It's solid. You know it's here. That's what these things that the believer hopes for are, just that real. More real than that. They're lasting. They're eternal. They won't fade away. When the scripture says, John said in John 6:47, he said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is the Lord speaking, he that believeth on me hath, that means he's the possessor of, he has eternal life, possesses it. And it's substance, it'll never fade away. Now look here with me at the first verse there, and it says also, secondly I want you to see here, it says faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you know what the word evidence means? Evidence. If a crime's committed, you know, they bring forth evidence to be witnesses of the things. Evidence is proof. Evidence verifies that those things which aren't seen are real in the heart of the believer. The faith God gives doesn't put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what it does is through faith, when God gives faith, He verifies to us, proves to us that he wrote our book in the Lamb's Book of Life when he chose us and put us in Christ. And we behold that as being real. It's an enduring, evident thing. We can't see it, but we know it's so. Let me give you a few things that are not seen, but they are real, lasting things. We have things that were done in eternity when in the counsel and covenant and purpose of God, when he chose to save a people for himself and he put them in Christ Jesus, and he purposed everything that comes to pass. He predestinated all things. And then we have things done in time. The incarnation, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman, there were some people who saw him with their own eyes. But proof that we have to have faith given to us to really see him is the fact that they saw him and didn't believe on him. They saw him and didn't believe him whatsoever. But we didn't see his death. We didn't see him. We didn't see his death. We didn't see his resurrection. But when God gives us his faith, it's evidence to us. And we believe these things are so. We have things that are being done for us right now. Our Lord is seated at God's right hand, and he's making intercession on behalf of believers. Right now, the Lord's, all those things that God purposed back there in eternity, he's bringing them all to pass right now in his good providence. He's bringing everything that comes to pass. We can't see it. We don't see, we see the results of it, but we don't see what he's doing. We don't see how he's moving the hearts of people, what he's, exactly what he's doing. We can't see the work of the Spirit. The Lord told Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You can see the effects of it. You can see the leaves blowing on the tree, but you can't see the wind that went through it and caused it to happen. And then there's things that's going to happen in the future. There's going to be a resurrection. Those that Christ redeemed and bought with his blood, they're going to be raised from the dead. They're going to come out of the grave. And those that are alive when he returns, they're going to be translated up with him, as we'll see here in a moment. Enoch was. There'll be a judgment, and then there'll be eternal glory forever and ever and ever. And those things are things that we can't see right now, but by faith, we have. It's evident to us that it exists. And they're all unseen things. I want to give you an illustration. I don't usually do stuff like this, but do you see this? This is Emma's. This is a Webkinz, I believe. It's a stuffed pink poodle for those listening. But you see this, don't you? You see it? You know it's here, don't you? This is evidence to you. All the evidence you need to believe that I'm holding a stuffed pink poodle, you've got all the evidence you need, don't you? Now let me ask you something. You don't see it now, but you still see it, don't you? You still know. You have the evidence. So you know that pink poodle exists. You know it. You know what it looks like. You could describe it to me if I ask you to describe it to me. God works in the reverse of that. He gives us faith, showing us that the power's his and not our. He gives faith to the believer. And in his word, he opens our eyes to behold everything that this word says about him. And we begin to see that he is real, and that all these promises are real, and that what Christ accomplished is real. And it's just as real to the believer as me holding this right up in front of your face and you looking at it. It's just as real, because that's how God operates. It's faith. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Although we can't see them, we can look in this word, and by faith we see them. We see them. Okay, now look here, verse 2. It says, "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." And this is how everybody who's ever been saved, the elders here are Abel and Job and Enoch and Noah, all the folks we're going to read about as we go through chapter 11. But they walk by faith just like we do. Same way. The only difference between their faith and ours is we have the whole revelation of God. We have all the written word here for us. And so that's why you don't have You don't have God speaking in the different manners in which He spoke in the past. He got it all right here for us. And when He gives us life and gives us faith, all the evidence we need right here in His written Word. But they waited for something that they didn't see come to pass. They hadn't seen Christ come, but they heard about Him. They saw Him in the ceremonies, and Christ or God revealed Him in them, so that like Abraham, they saw His day, and they waited for it. Now He's come and raised and seated at God's right hand, and we're looking for Him to come again, just like they were looking for Him to come the first time. You know, everything in our day happens real quick. You know, we had internet. Now we got high speed internet. We had mail. Now we got email. You know, everything's fast, and it causes us to want things to happen instantaneously. But by faith, we wait, and we're not covetous. We're content with such things as we have, because the Lord said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And so we can say, "The Lord's my helper. I'm not afraid of what man will do to me, because these things are real. I know my God is real." So here's the third thing I want you to see. Through true faith, true saving faith, the believer's given an understanding in things pertaining to God. We see them, but He gives us an understanding of what they mean. Now let's look here, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, scientists have been studying for generations and generations trying to understand how the world was created. But the man who God gives faith, the woman, the boy, girl who God gives faith, knows exactly how the world was created. The visible creation was formed from nothing. It was formed from absolutely nothing. And God spoke all things into existence. Mankind has made some really nice things. We've made some really impressive things in this world. But we've never made something from nothing. Never. Scripture tells us, you know how we believe it? You know why we believe it? Because we'll read a scripture like John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And by faith, because God's given us faith and given us a heart to believe Him, we believe Him. We believe that everything that was made by Him, and for Him, and created out of nothing. If we didn't have faith to believe it, we'd spend our whole life and devote our whole life to studying space and rocks and different things to try to figure out how it was made. We know how it was made. That came to us through faith. That's how we know. And we believe it because we've received the Spirit of God. We've been made to know these things by the Spirit of Revelation. You know, you can read it. You can read it, and you can get an understanding or grasp of it, but you can't believe, you can't really understand what I'm talking about till you experience it, till God works a work of grace in your heart through the Holy Spirit. But when He gives you a spiritual understanding, it's as real as if me holding up that stuffed animal. It's just that real. More real. Well, fourthly, here's the fourth thing I want you to see. Through this faith, God witnesses to us, within us, through the Holy Spirit, that we're righteous before God by the atonement which Christ the Lamb made when He shed His own blood. And by faith, we obtain a good report. We have it verified in our hearts that as God has said we're righteous, we're just that righteous. Look here with me, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel and Cain, they're brothers. You can read about them in Genesis 4, 1 through 5. You know this, you've read the story, I'm sure. But Cain, these two are an example of the only two beliefs that have ever existed in the world, ever. It's the only two beliefs that have ever existed in the world, ever. Period. The first religion is salvation by grace through Christ Jesus the Lord, through faith in Him. Abel kept sheep. He raised sheep. He was a keeper of sheep. And he went to approach God. And he knew, because he's a sinner, by faith he knew, because he was a sinner and because he was unrighteous before God, if he's going to approach God, he has to approach God witnessing, testifying, confessing that he must have someone die in his place. And the one that dies in his place has got to be absolutely perfect. So he went out there to his lot, his pasture, where his sheep were, to the sheepfold. He picked out the firstling of the flock, a little spotless snow white lamb, didn't have a blemish in it. And he took that lamb, and that lamb pictured Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And he took that lamb, and he killed that lamb, and poured his blood out before the Lord, signifying that he has to come in a substitute. And you might think, well, that's sad to kill a little poor innocent lamb like that. That's what we got to understand, is that God gave his own son. He gave his spotless, perfect son, and his son laid down his own life and died in the room instead of sinners, just like you and me. Now, Cain is the opposite. His the second belief. Cain came in the works of his own hands. Cain was a farmer. He was a farmer. And he probably picked out the best spot of land he could find. And he tilled that soil up so he could plant it, fertilized it, got it prepared to harvest, to plant the crop. He planted it, tended it, worked at it very diligently, and he kept fertilizing it. He kept watching it grow, and he waited and waited and waited. And when the time came, he went out there and he gathered up the best, prettiest fruits from out of his garden, and he took those and approached God with those, and God rejected him. You know why? Because everything that Cain did, that in trying to approach God, he came to God with the works of his own hand. He came to God with that which he had worked to obtain. And God said, I won't have it. There was nothing about Abel that by birth made him righteous. They were both the same. By birth, they were both sinners. And it wasn't even his faith that made him righteous. But Christ, that one that was typified in the Lamb, that's the righteousness. 1 Peter 1:11, I believe, said, we obtain like precious faith through the righteousness of God and His Son, Christ Jesus. That's how we get faith, is given to us because God's righteous and He gives it to us and He makes us righteous. And then it says, and He being dead, This sacrifice yet speaketh. He's dead, but his faith is an example of it, still speaks loud and clear. And in these two fellows, Cain and Abel, in Cain we see works. We see trying to come to God other than in Christ alone, believing on Him alone. But by faith, Abel came with a lamb. He came trusting Christ. When you turn on your faucet, on your water faucet, what do? You get water, don't you? You receive water. You didn't have to make the faucet. You didn't have to go dig a well to try to hunt water. You didn't have to use some means to get that water to come to you. Your dad installed that faucet, or some carpenter, somebody, plumber did, installed that faucet. You just simply turn on the faucet and receive the water from it. That's sort of how we receive this witness that I'm talking about. We receive the witness of God the Holy Spirit through faith that we're completely, fully righteous before God and accepted in the blood of Christ. Let me get you to look with me over at Romans 8:16. We're told here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what this witness is all about. And we're told that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look back there now at Hebrews 9 and look at verse 12. When the Lord witnesses this to us, we're looking here at how it said that that he received a witness that he was righteous. This witness is not just a witness of folks beholding what Abel did and saying, well, he's righteous. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something happened in Abel's heart. There was something done in Abel's heart that was the Spirit of God bearing witness with his spirit that he indeed is a child of God. That's the witness that I'm worried about. I'm not as concerned about the witness of what other fellas think. I see, if they see what I see, they won't think much of me. I want to know about this witness. I want to know about this witness. Verse 9:12. Remember we saw this? It's not by the blood of goats and calves. The ceremonies are done. It's by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He bought us. He paid the price, and there's a possession that belongs to him, and that possession's his people. Now, if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is that witness that we have through faith. We receive it through faith, just like you receive that water through a water faucet. And this witness is the Spirit of God bearing witness in our hearts that we are righteous with God. And it purges our conscience now. We're not trying to go out and do things because we want to be accepted of God. We're accepted of God. Now we go out, and what we do because we have the privilege of being the sons and daughters of God, and we love Him, and we don't want to turn from Him ever again. But that witness, that's what we got to have. And that witness comes when He gives us faith. It's through faith that that witness comes into our heart, bears witness with our spirit. Now let me ask you this question. What gives you more peace, your children? Let me ask you, what gives you more peace? Do you have more peace when you know that you've disobeyed your father and you're laying there in bed at night and you know that he's not very satisfied with you? He doesn't look at you very well because you've offended him and you know you've offended him. Does that give you peace? Can you just go to bed at night like that and sleep soundly? Or do you find yourself sleep better at night when you've enjoyed a good day with your father and he's told you how much he loved you, he's held you, he's encouraged you, he spent the whole day with you? You go to bed that night and just rest, peace. Well, that's the fifth point here. This witness which God gives us in our hearts through faith, when he tells us that in Christ, God our Father is pleased with us. He's pleased with us. Isn't that something? God, the thrice holy God, all I see in me is a sinner, and I read that God's pleased with me. He's pleased with me. Look here, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now listen to this now. Now hang on to what I'm about to tell you. God didn't have to wait for Enoch to die to bring Enoch into his presence. He didn't have to wait for Enoch to die to bring him to heaven. He merely changed Enoch from being a mortal like we are to being immortal like him. And Enoch was carried up to heaven by God forever. That's what it means. Before his translation, this is why that the Lord did this. Before his translation, he had this testimony. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Now here's the point I want you to get from that. By faith, by trusting God alone, trusting Christ alone, is all our righteousness, all our salvation. Proof, that's proof to me and you, brethren, that right now, through faith, God will receive us into his presence at any time. Any time. We can go to him in prayer, and if he pleases to bring us to him right now, he could make Eric disappear right here if he wanted to, and bring him right up into glory. Translate him. Body, soul, and spirit. I'm not talking about just his soul and his spirit. They went out looking for Enoch and couldn't find him. Enoch was gone. Body, soul, and spirit. You see, when he resurrects our bodies out of the grave, he's going to make it a brand new body. So what's from stopping him to just make a new body and raise it up? A perfect body. Just like he's made us perfect in spirit and righteousness. That faith receives this testimony that from God, that God says that just like I'm pleased with my Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I'm pleased with you. Pleased with you. Not offended. Pleased with you. Can I do anything to fall out of his favor? Nothing. There's nothing you did to get in his favor. There's nothing we did to make him look on us and say, I'm well pleased with you. He looked on his Son and said, I'm well pleased with him. And when he comes and gives life and faith to those that he put in his Son, who his Son redeemed and bought with his own blood, God says, I'm pleased with you. That's the message. That's what we hear. This is the law of love. This is the love that God sheds abroad in our hearts, brethren. These are the things that aren't seen. These are the evidences. This is the substance. Is to know that God's pleased with us and how it happened in the Lamb. Now here, I want you to look at verse 6, and I'm going to show you the last lesson I want you to see in this text today. True saving faith is believing God. Now we've said all this about faith. Now what is it? What is faith? Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. After all the witness that God has given us in his written word, after the men that have suffered and died that God used to record his word, after everything that his Son did in laying down his life on the cross, for us not to believe him is to say we think he's a liar. We think he's a liar. Are you pleased with folks that call you a liar? Are you happy with them? If one of your schoolmates walks up to you and says, I heard that you said such yesterday, and I believe that you said it. You're a liar. You don't like me. You told me you like me. You're a liar. You wouldn't be very pleased with them. If you were innocent, it was just like you'd said it was to them, that they're your friend, and they came up and said, no, you're a liar. You wouldn't like them. That's exactly what it is. Every minute we go through this life not trusting God, not fully believing on his Son, we're saying, I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. I do not believe you. What is faith? Look here with me. We'll end right here. Faith is coming to God That's what it is. He that cometh to God, that's what faith is. It's coming to God. Faith's believing that God is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Not only that there is a God, the Scriptures tell us that the devils believe that and tremble. It's not just believing there is a God, but that God is who He says He is. That's what, just exactly as He says He is in His Word, that's what faith is. Believing He is. Somebody said, oh, and look here, faith is coming to God, believing that He is, and believing that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's believing that, somebody said this, faith's not believing that God can do anything. That's not faith. Faith is believing that God will do everything He says in His Word He will do. Faith's always connected with the Word of God. Faith's believing that God's going to do everything He says He's going to do for you. Well, let me give you an application to think about. You believers, you'll rejoice in this. And I pray that you children, by God's grace, will be able to rejoice in this as well. If you believe God, it's because, this is amazing. Two words are just absolutely amazing. If you believe God, God is for you. God's for you. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Believer, you know this, God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for you. We won't ever get that. This side of glory, just how amazing that thought is. He gave His Son for you. And all things are from God's hand freely for you. And God sent His Son, and His Son obtained justification for you. And He makes intercession right now at God's right hand for you. You're more than conquerors through Him because the love of Christ is a specific love specifically for you. You know, I can't even understand it because I love my wife. And I love her so imperfectly. But my love is for her. And yet God is so, He's so beyond our comprehension that He loves you no less than He loves you. No less. Go home tonight and read Romans 8:31-39 and believe God. Believe Him. What do I have to do? Believe Him. That's what He said. What about baptism? If you believe Him, you'll go to your mama, your daddy, and say, I believe Him. What's this about baptism? I want to tell the world I believe Him. Go and read first, though. Seek to know Him. Seek to believe Him. And ask Him, Lord, help me believe. I want to see You. I want to know You. I want to understand. I want this evidence. I want this substance. Lord, help me believe. Give me a heart to believe You. And for those that know Him, go home tonight and with a thankful heart. You can say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me. I believe You, Lord. By Your grace, I believe You. Just help my unbelief. All right.